on 1116 SEN. On the grid with Tony Jabecki for Bendix Brakes. At your next car service, ask your mechanic to fit Bendix Brakes. Don't accept anything else.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. You are on the grid here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport, for Bendix Brakes. At your next car service, ask your mechanic to fit Bendix Brakes. Don't accept anything else, especially in these icy conditions out there. Fairly cold, it's still around about 2 degrees in Melbourne, so you need some good brakes to make sure that your car pulls up on the icy roads. Got a big show coming up. Gary Rogers from Gary Rogers Motorsport to join us in just a tick. We'll also speak to Braxy a little bit later on about what's happening in the world of MotoGP. Great to see Valentino Rossi have a win last week as well. But let's kick it off. The owner of Gary Rogers Motorsport, Gary Rogers, joins us on the line. Good morning, Gaz.
Tony, good morning to you and all the listeners.
Thank you for joining us, mate.
Pardon me, pleasure.
Big week for you this week. It was sort of like sending one of your children overseas, wasn't it, with that Volvo S60 leaving the garage and making its way over to Sweden?
Yes, it's all part of history now. And fortunately, it's been great history, really. What a successful campaign and an opportunity to really do something and prove the point. And we did do that. But anyway, the museum's important and the car is equally as important.
Exactly right. So the two cars you had prepared or had in the workshop have now gone over to Sweden?
No, one is going. I think it actually might even be going today or tomorrow.
Yep.
And then the other one will eventually go there to the museum in Gothenburg. So we're just sort of getting it back to its proper status. So as when people look at it, they realise what a magnificent feat it was, because it all seems so long ago now, but it was a lot of bloody hard work by our team. And you know, look, I've been to that museum. I was over in Sweden just prior to the announcement that the contract wouldn't be renewed. And yeah, it's quite an outstanding part of history with everything they've got there, from trucks to their original old cars, all sorts of things.
Gary, talk us through the few years, and not so much the end, because we all know how that's ended up in regards to the split between Volvo and yourself. But just working with an international manufacturer in regards to getting a V8 supercar on the track and in a winning condition, how tough was it for you guys?
Oh, look, Tony, I mean, it wasn't that difficult, because we've got, well, firstly, the car of the future rules allowed the cars to come into the category, so that was step one. And then, of course, we had a year with our Commodore prior to that, so we'd been down the road of the car of the future rules, so we perhaps had a bit of a leg up there. And the fact that our boys have been there for so long doing these sorts of things, it was just endurance. You just had to keep at it and keep trying and keep changing, because it wasn't going to happen easily, and it certainly wasn't going to happen unless we had the right people to do it with. And fortunately, you know, our workforce, as you know, I mean, you get around the pits from time to time.
Yep.
And the fact of the matter is, we've just got a really super group of people who know what they're doing and also get on with it rather than talk about it, because you can draw things, you can talk about it, you can waffle on forever, but you've got to do something.
Oh, exactly right, and that's the main thing about it, especially with supercars. It's such a close competition, but then also we see a couple of cars, as we have seen over the past few years, as the 888 cars that stand out, and then it's sort of a fight for the best of the rest, and you want to be in that category. You don't want to be below them.
I think, Tony, the homologation process was the hardest part for us.
Yep.
Because you had to comply with the regulations. You know, basically the aero of the car you couldn't have any advantage, albeit you could have built the car to have an advantage because of the body shape and things like that. The fact is, supercars have done an absolutely outstanding job with having the rules so tight that you've got to be able to meet all the specifics of the aero, of the downforce, with the lift and everything. So, and then to get the car homologated, that wasn't easy, because really time was on the wing, and to try and get all that done in a very short space of time, it was a hard job. But let me tell you, it was extremely rewarding. I mean, I see that car sitting there now. The other day, all in the livery that it had at the Grand Prix, and you know, the jandal on the roof and a whole lot of things that are now history. It makes you extremely proud.
And that livery from the Grand Prix, that was the first win, first of six wins for that car?
It was.
Any more special than the other?
I think probably the second place at Adelaide is probably better than any wins, just purely because of the emotion of Scotty and the emotion of the team. And it was such a hard-fought battle, and to I think that's probably the one that really sticks in my mind, and I think most other people, because where they're coming together with Wincup on that last corner, and when he looked like he was going to hit the wall and he didn't, all that sort of thing really sticks with everyone, I think.
Gary, the last few years have been interesting for supercars to that extent that we had Volvo come in and go out. We had a sort of a Mercedes involvement to an extent, but they didn't really want to be there. Ford have pulled out in the last few years. The new Gen 2 rules that pop up next year, is that going to make things a little bit easier for manufacturers to stay in the competition?
I don't know that that will change a lot of things. I think the fact is that you've got to have the manufacturer to have interest initially, and then you've got to be able to have the rules to suit what they want to represent to the public as their brand of their vehicle. And I think that I'm not too sure about chopping and changing all rules are such a good idea, but I do think that there are opportunities out there. I mean, we've been talking to several vehicle distributors and manufacturers, but you know, you've just got to make sure the business is solid enough, which it is, that people want to invest with us. And then it's a very lengthy process. Look, getting any big companies to make decisions in haste just doesn't happen. It's about perseverance and making sure you present your team and everyone associated with it in a manner that people want to deal with you.
I see on Speak FA this week that 888 have put out, have tested their V6 engine. Which they expect to release in 2019 in the supercars competition. Will you be pushing away, will your business model be pushing away from a V8? Is it an exciting period of time to know that there's going to be other options out there for you?
Well, I think it can be very costly as well as exciting.
Yeah, I imagine.
So I think what we need to do, from my own team's perspective, we need to be able to look at what the opportunities to align ourselves with another manufacturer, because, look, we've been around, you know how long we've been around. The fact is we're here to stay, but we do not want to be going down the road of having to chop and change every second year, because the cost and the inconvenience in time and money to your business is horrific. So we would like to think that can happen. If not, we'll probably persevere for the time being with what we've got, but also keep the door open to try and have some change somewhere.
Garth Tander, new to the team this year. Well, new.
No, he's not.
I was just going to correct myself. They're sort of back to the future, isn't it? With Garth coming back to the team, been a valuable input into the operation, hasn't he?
Oh, look, he's great, because clearly, I mean, he was there in the very, very young days and certainly was part of that first Bathurst win. He was part of our two 24-hour Monaro wins. And a few of my guys were there when he was there. They're still there. And He's you know, age does a lot of things. He's matured a lot. He's very smart. He's helping Barry really do a lot of groundwork running the team now, because I'm not retiring. Don't get me wrong there, but I'm trying to have a little bit of peace and quiet. And look, it's just been great to have him back. But also, like, Moffat's really hit his straps. He did a great job in Darwin with a fantastic qualifying performance. Perhaps a bit hesitant in the race, didn't quite get the result we thought we would. But, you know, look, the team's heading in the right direction when you consider we had to build four brand new cars and get the things on the track and get going. So I'm not unhappy with the way things are chugging along. In fact, I'm quite happy with them.
You're happy with the way things are going along with the category, Gary?
Yes, I am, Tony. Look, what happens, there's always innuendos in the back door of who's doing what and all this discussion that's going on about Archers wanting to sell their share of the business, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, any big business comes under fire at times because certain people want to do this, certain people don't want to do it. Only time will tell whether an appropriate buyer is out there for it. I don't know whether there is or whether there is not. But what I do know is that if you look at the exposure gained now through the people associated with the category, it's never been stronger. But we've all got to, as teams, just got to make sure we present the show every time so that continues, because clearly, if you look at anything other than NASCAR, supercars is without a doubt the best motorsport publicity machine out there, and there's no doubt about that. No one could argue that. I mean, you look at Formula One race, you look at all this, truly, it's not serious stuff. And, you know, I've watched a couple of DTM races and a couple of others, but they're really processions, whereas we have got serious competition in our category, but it's because the teams have been so good at continually preparing and presenting the cars in such a format.
It seems like common sense has sort of prevailed in regards to a tyre decision that was made this week. Of course, we had the disaster of that super soft tyre in Phillip Island. The decision to go back to the 2016 tyre for Bathurst and Auckland, a good decision?
Oh, I haven't really looked into it at depth. Let me tell you, the Phillip Island decision was a beauty for us. We managed our tyres well and got a great result.
Well, then coming back to that, though, Gary, was it more the tyre or was it more the fact that teams really pushed the limits in their camber that caused the issue?
Well, I think it was the latter. Others will argue, but I think that if you look at the teams that perhaps didn't push the suspension settings to suit the speed of a particular lap or a couple of laps, they ended up with a right result out of that. And look, you can't just keep changing the rules to suit individual teams' requirements. No. And I know safety's paramount, but I think we've all got to remember what we do has an element of risk. And so long as we do what we can to keep that at a minimum, then you've really got to stabilise things rather than chop and change. So I'm still open-minded on the tyre rule, but at this stage I'll talk to my boys about it and we'll see. I mean, it's the rules. So whether we like it or whether we don't, we'll need to deal with it. But I suppose we've got to try and get a benefit out of it if we can.
Calendar starts to get really action-packed now, mate. We're off to Townsville next weekend and then we work our way through to the Enduros and then a big finish in Newcastle at the end of the year. Hope it's all good luck for you and the team, buddy.
Well, I think Newcastle will be a great event from what Garth told me. He's been up there a couple of times. I haven't seen the track in person, but certainly it's nice to get out of the Melbourne winter and get to Darwin and Townsville for a few days.
Certainly is.
And as you say, I mean, things are starting to hot up. The competition's great. I'm not sure, you know, there's dialogue going on at the moment about certain overseas events and other things. I think there's some really good action going on behind the scenes. And I would just urge people to get behind the management and keep going because seriously, like I said before, if you want to go and watch some proper motorsport, you will not find anything better than supercars.
You certainly won't. You won't find a better bloke than you running a supercar team. Gary, thanks for your time as always.
You really don't. I'll see you around the traps sooner rather than later, I hope.
Look forward to it, mate.
And
thank you.
Good morning to all the listeners. Look after yourselves. I'll go back to bed.
You do that. Thanks for waking up for us. Gary Rogers, owner of Gary Rogers Motorsport, joining us on the line to have a chat about, his team and a few other things in the business as well. We'll take a break. MotoGP with Braxy up next.
On 1116 SEN, on the grid with Tony Shebeki for Bendix Brakes. At your next car service, ask your mechanic to fit Bendix Brakes. Don't accept anything else.
Time to talk two wheels, and we do that MotoGP-wise with Mark Brax. Good morning, Braxy.
Good morning, Shebex. How are you?
Good, mate. Before we get into this weekend, let's go back a weekend to what was a spectacular victory for the old bloke in Valentino Rossi in the Dutch TT. Your thoughts on it?
He never ceases to amaze.
Doesn't he?
The way his dedication and just his commitment. And, to be out there in those conditions last week, he crashed in similar conditions the previous year when Jack Miller had that historic win. But to do it last week and on the television, it doesn't give justice to how much rain was actually falling. And for him to actually stamp his authority and say to the lads, this is how you ride a GP bike in the wet and to go out and win it, was just a sight for the ages, I think, and just proves what a wonderful sport this is at the moment. With you're going to have a guy 38 years old mixing it with 24, but basically almost guys half his age, isn't it?
No, exactly right. Now, does it mean, unfortunately, though, Braxy, that we're going to need conditions like that for Valentino Rossi to get more wins? Is he not going to be as competitive in the dry?
I wouldn't say that, Shebex. It depends on the circuit. I know that's a bit of a cliche, yeah. But with these Michelin tyres, with everybody on the same, the one brand, okay, they've got a few different compounds, but even if bikes are on the same compound, a different bike, say the Honda Marquette and Valentino Rossi and Yamaha, they pick the same hard compound front and rear, for argument's sake, on with the Michelin. The Yamaha's going to have a different effect on that very same tyre as what the Marquette and Honda's going to do, just with the power characteristics. So it all comes down to the... you know, the pluses and subtractions that they're doing over the course of the weekend. The weather helps him win a Grand Prix. Whether it's dry that he cannot win a Grand Prix, I wouldn't like to go out on a limb and say that because, as we've seen in the past, 2015, except for his brain fade, when he had that brain fade, he was almost certain of another championship.
Well, exactly.
So now, Well, you can't. When you look at him with the name Valentino Rossi, he is an enigma. You know, there's no other words for it. And, the win 20 years, what was it, 20 years, 313 days difference between his first and his last GP. Like, that's, you've got to shake your head, you know. Like, a lot of us would be lucky to go 313 days between wins, so to speak. It's just, you know, it is. It's mind-boggling, and words can't actually describe what he is and the legacy that he's going to leave. I know he's got the Valaban, as we call it, the rancid supporters, the rabid supporters. He can't do anything wrong. But what he's done for the sport, his record's going to go down forever. You know, it's and I'm against one that says you're the greatest of all time. You're the greatest of your own generation. I think it's the best to say, because, like motorsport, you can't compare a Jim Clark or a Jackie Stewart to a Michael Schumacher or a Lewis Hamilton. It's the same with comparing Valentino Rossi to Mark Harwood or Giacomo Agostini.
Well, on Giacomo, and we can't compare him to Giacomo, you're right, but what we can do is compare records. And now he's, what, five or six off the amount of victories Giacomo set, 122 for him.
Yeah.
Do you believe that he'll pass it?
Well, he's got more MotoGP victories than Giacomo. And okay, in defence of Jack, or in defence of Rossi, whichever way you want to see my argument, at times Agostini was racing two and three classes in one day. That was outlawed after Freddie Spencer won the 1985 250 and 500cc championships in the 1 year. So when you put it that way, his record as race starts and podiums and blah, 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 he actually eclipses Aga when you get right down to the nerdy statistics of it all. So you could actually say he is the greatest, but, you know, it's a tall order, because Mike Harwood, he went to Formula One, same as John Surtees. He was the only one to do it in two categories, you know. So very hard to compare, but, mate, he is the greatest that I'll ever see. That's all I can say. And I'm looking forward to Phillip Island. I'm sure you're hoping to be down there with us this year, Trebek.
I would love to be, Braxy, but unfortunately, once again, the stupid people who make calendars in this world have mixed with the Gold Coast again.
We won't go there, but no, last weekend was one for the ages. Rossi leading Omi's younger charges. And they've regrouped this weekend. They only had to go a few hundred k's across the land to, what was the old East Germany, just near the historic town of Dresden, the Saxon Ring Circuit. For the 20th time, I think they're racing there this year. And Honda's got a remarkable record there. They've won 13 of the 19 races that have been held there so far. And four of those go to Mark Marquette on the Honda. Since he's come into MotoGP, he's won every race there with the Saxon Ring. And looking at his dominance in the wet and the dry in qualifying and practice over the last 2 days, you'd be a strong man to bet against him. But I think the other man that you could actually have a quiet little bet on this weekend is Danny Pedrosa. In the wet and the dry, he's been in the top three consistently as well. So a few of them had a big whoopsie coming through that, what do they call it, the waterfall from first right-hander in a few hundred metres, where they plunged to about 30 metres in about three nanoseconds. A lot of stunning crashes there towards the end of the season and end of the sessions. And just looking on the news this morning, I didn't ever have to look at the weather report. Quebec's Berlin's suffering the heaviest rain in a century. Yeah. And Dresden and Chemnitz is only about an hour or so away. So I would be surprised if it's going to be a dry race there this weekend. And Rossi's starting from, I think he was eighth on the grid.
Yeah, ninth.
Well, I've been there in 2006, when he started from 14th on the grid and came through and won the race. And that was in the dry just after Italy had won the World Cup. So don't discount him this weekend. But there's a number of them you can't discuss. There's another one is Daniel Petrucci.
Yes.
What a machine he is. He's the fastest Ducati rider on the old Ducati, the 2016 model. He's second from Pedrosa. Crutchlow, there's another dark horse. He came second there last year. Jonas Volger, flying the flag for Germany in front of his home fans. And the surprise packet, I suppose, of the weekend, Jorge Lorenzo in sixth fastest position, out-qualifying his teammate, Andrea Dovizioso, the championship leader, down there in 10th position, just behind Rossi. And then you've got to go through to the rest of them. Jack Miller's down there as well. He's in, I think he got through
13th.
The fourth position.
Yeah.
So 13th position, so he's on the fourth row of the grid. But, mate, there's some going to be Loris Baz if it's raining. He's another one that was up there last weekend. You can guarantee that if the weather report for Burley makes the Channel 9 news down every morning, it's going to be a wet one tonight down there at the Saxon Ring. So any one of a dozen of them could win it. And even going through the Moto 2 category, Remy Gardner having his best qualifying and practice sessions, he was 12th fastest for a number of sessions and just got pipped at the last bit. Behind that machine called Morbidelli,
yep.
Who, mate, no one's going to get him near him in Moto 2. But Moto GP tonight, mate, it is going to be another special race.
It's a matter
of who can get the good start and try and hold them off on that very tight and, very demanding track because there's so much pressure put on the right-hand side of the tyre, the left-hand side of the tyre, pardon me.
Good on you, Braxy. Always great to catch up, mate. We'll do it again soon.
No worries, mate. Have a good day. All the best to you and the crew.
Thank you, mate. Mark Brax joining us talking MotoGP Session Ring tonight. Mark Marquez, 8 pole position out of 8 at that track. 4 wins. Yeah, you'd be a silly man to bat against him.